Morning. Welcome this morning. A couple announcements. The general fund collection will be February 16th. Men's Bible study at Tom's Wednesday, 7:30. Friday Bible study, 7 o'clock here at the church. And Sunday school and adult Bible study, 10 a.m. next Sunday. And worship service at 11. Any other announcements?
Support from every angle, and I feel that we are very blessed to have one another. And I have to say, as Willie was a builder, he was also a builder of relationships. That was big to him. And this was supposed to be read the other night at the service by Shane, but Shane had been sick that week and somehow it got missed, so I feel I should share this. And I'll just, this is kind of my own personal.
That's okay.
20 years with Willie. A friend for 6 years, married for 14 years. January the 12th, 2011, our surprise wedding began a very different chapter in my life. After 60 years of single life. Life with Willie was full of companionship, adjustments, growth, unique travel experiences, connections with myriad of people, young and old, near and far, from all stations of life. And in our times together, Willie was a mover, and a shaker who would break out in song and or dance at the drop of a hat. Big on his list of investments were family, church, work, neighbors, community. I always found Willie was very observant and highly perceptive of myself and where others were at. He was a forward-thinking person, with fairness, responsibility, honesty was modeled in his daily life. Active listening with a splash of fantastic, sometimes shocking, humor were frequent occurrences of Willie. Actions and deeds behind the scenes were his life. A phrase he would often say to me was this: "You know who I am. Don't make me out to be someone that I'm not." Willie loved and met children at their level with glee, as well as stuffed pews and pockets with gum or candy, much to the parents' chagrin, I think, and maybe the carpets in the church here sometimes. Family was an utmost importance to Willie. He helped us all with grace at every possible opportunity. Willie lived in the moment. He lived until he died. Looking over the last 20 years, one of the frequent ways he described himself was this: only a sinner saved by grace. As much as you left this world with a hole in your heart, Willie, you're leaving one in mine as well. I love you. Janet. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. After the service today, there will be Holy Communion served, and Ryan will read the psalm, and Tom will do the prayer and the service. Are there any prayer requests? And we'll start with 362.
Today's psalm reading is Psalm 138. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all, your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord. When they hear the words of your mouth, yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord, through the Lord is on high. Yet he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands.
Shall we open in a word of prayer? Dear merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, another day of grace. Father, we come to you with mourning hearts and at the same time joyful hearts, mourning the death of a brother, the absence of a grandfather and father, friend, uncle, patriarch, William Judy. We thank you for his life. Father, we thank you for the gifts that you've given him, the ability to be bold, funny, shocking, enthusiastic, and a man who lived a life. A man who appreciated people, not only one person, but all people. He touched the lives of people in churches, people in manors, people of all kinds, because he had the ability to meet them where they were at and not judge them for what they do. God, we thank you for giving him this ability. We thank you for his life, and we thank you for all the gifts that you've given him. We will have a huge void in this congregation. At the same time, we know that you strengthen those who love you. We know that you unify the bride of Christ because we are yours, chosen before the foundation of the world. We are the sons and daughters of men. We know with assurance where he's gone. At the same time, be merciful unto him, Father. For as the bride of Christ goes, there is a vacancy. But it will be added to, as you always do. You add to the bride. You add to the sons of men, the chosen, the called, to do your work in your ministry and your kingdom. We have the assurance of your sovereignty in this action, that you will give us the ability to love and have bowels of mercy for each other, because that Holy Spirit will direct it, guide it, and honor you for it. Father, we thank you for Willie's life, a life well lived, a life that touched many. Father, we also thank you for the bride, this congregation here. We thank you for giving them the ability to believe in your word, the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the young children. They speak wisdom to us. Out of the mouth of babes comes wise and thoughtful messages. We thank you for the teachers. We thank you for everyone that's a part of this group, because there is hope of an eternity future with you. And there is accountability through that word which you've given us that we preach. Father, we are so thankful to have the word. We have the ability to look at it, dwell on it, learn from it, expound on it, be taught by it, and share it. Help us this day do that. For this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We are hopeful of Jesus to come. At the same time, we understand what he has done and is doing with his bride, perfecting it, making it chaste. Father, we ask that you would just give us this hour to worship you in glory, to thank you for what you've done and are doing through that Holy Spirit. We ask that in Jesus' name. Let's continue with 327. May the grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, be with you this hour of worship through that indwelling Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, the last time I spoke, we discussed the heart. And today we will discuss the influences and thoughts and decisions that come from the heart and how those influences and thoughts give us choices and right choices and wrong choices depending on if we're being influenced by the Holy Spirit, the bride of Christ, the flesh, the world, or the devil. A few verses that I quoted last time and I will quote this time as well, and it's very pertinent to the funeral, as Willie had some of these on his heart. We look at Jeremiah 17:9. And the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, searcheth the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. In Matthew chapter 6, 19 to 21. Lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let's read the text. It's the 14th chapter of Ezekiel from verses 1 to 11. We'll read it in Jesus' name. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, the bride chosen, the elect, is what son of man means. These men have set up their idols in their heart, which tells us you can do this. And put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face, should I be required of at all by them. Therefore speak unto them, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, Repent and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man, and I will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of the people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet be deceived, when he hath spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived the prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him, and I will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. And they shall bear the punishments of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him that seeketh unto him. That the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people, and I may be their God, saith the Lord God. Sanctify these words, Father, for thy word is truth. There's some points to be made for this text. As there's two things that happen to man, probably more than two, but I'll just express two. To the ones who believe because they are broken, lowly, and contrite, mercy and grace is offered because grace is able to enter that heart. For ones that don't believe, you receive the wrath of God. It's basically that simple. It's that simple. So we have here a heart that can, like it says, create idols within them. How do you know if your heart is not doing that or is doing that, and what path, and how do we know where it's going? Well, there's one question that comes to mind. Is there a warfare, and what does it look like? Are we in a battle? Do we have a warfare? Ephesians 6:12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. This is 10 to 12. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Do you personally have a warfare? Not against each other, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What is that? Well, it says one of them, the world. The other one is the flesh, and the other one is the devil. The flesh is supposed to be crucified with Christ, but it seems to rear itself up all the time. Is there a warfare? How do we know if we're going down a path of setting up idols? What does it look like? Is our heart creating them? Are we aware of them? 1 John 2:15 and 17. In the Epistle of John, this is the litmus test. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What's the will of God? To believe on his Son, and what he did on the cross, and what he is currently doing in your lives through that Holy Spirit. That's the will of God. To believe that he has a home prepared for you, a castle in heaven, a place where there is no tears. He has prepared it for you. His will is that should happen. Colossians, we discussed this in Bible study. It's interesting how things just come up, and God knows we need repetition, even if it's not planned ahead of time. We need repetition because we do forget. Colossians 3, verse 5. And they'll read what happens before you were regenerated, born again, taken out of darkness, and brought into light. This is what you were, from 5 to 9. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of... For which things' sake the wrath of God on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. But now ye have put off all these. And the question is, have you put off all these? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one with to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Is the old man crucified with Christ? The answer is yes, if you have the Holy Spirit. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him which created him. Whether there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ all, is all and in all. Then it gives you some application. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. And you have to ask yourself, do I have bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering? We've got to remember, if we are not lowly, broken, and contrite, grace is not there. Meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. For by the grace of God go I. If it wasn't for God's grace, we would be the most evil, unrepentant person on the planet. It's by God's grace. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do. You have a forgiving heart. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. What's the peace of God? Are you anxious? Are you unsettled? Are you worried? That's not the peace of God. To the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So important. Let the word of God, of Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, holding people accountable. And psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the manner, name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. What did Ryan read in the Psalm 138? Verse in there that's very clear and very encouraging. The second verse, I will worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word all above all thy name. The Bible, the word of God, is magnified, made impressionable, important, above his own name. Do we have that desire in our hearts? The Word of God is magnified. Ephesians 5, 3 to 10. Sorry, Colossians 5, 3 to 10. Nope. It's one of those. It's in Ephesians. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger or unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ or of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes in darkness, but now ye are the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So it says in our text here, it says, the Son of Man, these having set up their idols in their heart and put, this is the third verse, a stumbling block of their iniquity. A stumbling block of their iniquity is promoting sin or addiction. Promoting sin or addiction in an evil way. There is an addiction in the Bible that is good. Priscilla and Aquila had it. They were addicted to the ministry. The Word of God, the propagating of the gospel, the promoting of the truth of Christ. This stumbling block of his iniquity before his face that cometh to the prophet. I, the Lord, will answer that him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. You notice what God says here. He doesn't say the bride will do it. God says, I'm going to take care of that. Right? I'm going to handle that. That I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. What is an idol? Desire for anything created rather than the Creator. And you don't have a warfare. You're not fighting against it. For everyone in the house of Israel or of a stranger that is sojourneth in Israel. Notice it includes the house of Israel or anybody else. It's basically the whole world. For everyone that of the house of Israel or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, which don't want anything to do with God. And set it up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh a prophet to inquire of him concerning me. I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. He doesn't need our help. He'll take care of it. Does it mean that we walk away from evil and not say anything? No, it doesn't mean that. It means we don't judge it. Doesn't mean we walk away from it. We stand in the power of the gospel. We stand in the power of God. but God's going to take care of this. Wrath is not something that is exercised from the bride. Grace and mercy is what's exercised from the bride. So in the Old Testament, what were the idols? It seems like they built stuff with their hands, created it, and they worshipped it. That's what an idol was. That's not necessarily the only idol. There's lots of idols. And we just don't seem to recognize, or I don't seem to recognize, what some of them are. Self is an idol. What does that mean? What does self mean? How does this affect me? That's self. That can be an idol. Because your first first thought is, how does this affect me, apply to me? How is it going to concern me? Instead of looking at it as why has God allowed this to happen so that I may grow through it? What is God showing me through this trial? How is this situation going to make me grow? That's the difference. Because if we go down the path of self, how is this going to affect me? Well, it doesn't apply to me, so I don't have to worry about it. So what does that create? Complacency. Whereas if we say, why has God allowed this to happen to me? So then you ask the next question, how do I glorify God through it? Then you ask the next question, God, can you help me through this trial? There's if the self is doing all the work and I can handle this, or it doesn't affect me, or it doesn't apply to me, then you're going to create complacency. Security. Are you secure in what God is doing, has done, and will do? Or are you secure in what you do, what you create? Approval. This is a good one for young people. If you have the thought, what will this person think of me if I do that? There's a good chance when the Holy Spirit comes to you and says, I want you to share the gospel to that person, you're probably going to shy away from it because you're worried about what everybody else thinks. So approval can be an idol. Relationships can be an idol. What did God say? If you love me, love your father and mother more than me, what comes important to you? What is important to you? Where your heart is, there is your treasure. Is your relationship with God on top? When the foundation is built, is the next thing God? Or is it your job? Or is it your kids? Or is it your husband or wife? That comes before God. We've got to understand that God is a jealous God, and that's a good thing because he pursues us. And he will put obstacles until you make him your priority. He's number one. He's the foundation, and then he's everything else. Then the family, then the church, then your work, and then you can go down the list. Relationships can be success, can be an idol. Because once you've done something well and you're growing in it, you're going to continue to do it because it's work. So I'm going to continue to do it. And the more you make, the more time you put on it, the more important it becomes. The more important it becomes, when was the last time I read my Bible? When was the last time I looked? When was the last time I spent a half an hour with God? And I totally understand that is the role of the Holy Spirit in us. But there has to be a prayer that says, to the heart of the Christian or to me that says, God, make me intentional to serve you first, and the rest will come. But I must serve you first, and the rest will flow. I can't worry about how much I'm going to make tomorrow, if I'm going to pay my bills or anything. I can't worry about that. I'm going to serve you first, the rest will flow. Can you help me with this? And if I'm wrong with the thought, then help me change the thought so it's successful towards you, that you become first, that you're right after the foundation, because you are the foundation. Wealth. You cannot serve. You can't serve two masters. You have to serve one, and that's God. Health. I got to be careful. I don't eat too much carbs today, or I can't eat too much of this, or I got to make sure I get my exercise in. Doesn't the Bible say exercise isn't really that important? I think it says that in there somewhere. But at the same time, health is not that it's not important. It is important because you're the Holy Spirit lives in the temple of God. It lives in your heart. It's important. But if it's your focal point, if it's what you're focusing on, you can get sidetracked. You can spend an hour, 2 hours a day just thinking about your health. Believe it or not, God's got you covered there. Your days are numbered. You could be the healthiest person on the planet, running 3 hours a day, and that's what you do because you love it. You could be taken at 20. So it's important that we don't look at these things as priorities, but they're good things, but at the same time, they're not my focus. I'm focusing on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Food. What should I eat? What shouldn't I eat? I think Peter had a vision about that. I think God showed us that. I don't know. It's there. In intellect. If I read this book and I read that book, I'll learn more about this, this, and this, and this. And I'll be smart, and then I can answer all these questions for people. What's the motivation behind it? To answer questions, because you're actually in the back of it, you're just thinking of being respected by men. Instead of focusing on how do you glorify God. Comfort. If you're honest with yourselves, and if you ask yourself this question, does God want you comfortable? I don't believe so. He wants you uncomfortable. Because if you're uncomfortable, you'll reach out to Him. If you're comfortable, couch is comfy, I'm good, have my coffee, I can do it. If you're uncomfortable, it's when you're moving. These are idols that we look to. These are idols that take time away from glorifying God. These are idols of the heart. In this situation, these people were receiving the wrath of God. And it's not a comfortable thing. The choices you make, who are they being influenced by? Like I said, is it the Holy Spirit, the bride of Christ? Or is it the flesh, the world, and the devil? Luke chapter 12, there's a parable. Parable about greed. It's from 13 to 21. One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he may divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto me, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of what of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he never thought to give some away, I guess. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns, build greater, and there will be I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take at thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Idle hands is the devil's workshop. What's going to happen here? Nothing good. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So it is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. What advice does God give us when it comes to choices? In Proverbs, I believe chapter 3. Five and six. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Look to the Lord. In James 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and he shall be given him. If you need wisdom, ask God to give you some, like Solomon did. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I think I've read this one already, but we'll reread it. Matthew 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. You are at rest because of what Christ has done and is doing. We are at rest. What does the Christian have more to do? What are we commanded to do? Preach the gospel. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemies. How do we do that? Through that Holy Spirit that guides and directs. Through being in the Word in season and out of season. Through obedience. Through the unction of the Holy Spirit that is in you that directs you to do something. Ask yourself this question. Is the Holy Spirit passive? And then ask yourself the next question. Are you passive? Because the Holy Spirit is not passive. The Holy Spirit is active. There are many saints to be delivered from darkness to light. The mission to preach the good news is still a mission. We are still to plant that seed. Even though it's not us that is creating the Holy Spirit in people, it's by the foolishness of preaching that faith starts in somebody. And the reason why faith starts in somebody is because they're broken, lowly, and contrite, and they're reaching out to God, because God starts it first. He allows us to be broken, lowly, and contrite so that we die daily to ourselves, to our actions, to our own will. We have a will. But is it God's will? If it's not, then you need to die to it and observe God's will and do what God is asking you to do, which is believe in his Son and the works of the cross so that his kingdom can come, which it already has. The bride is being fulfilled. A new member, a new member, a new member of the bride is being fulfilled so that bride can be presented to Jesus Christ in eternity future as he is the bridegroom from the Father. The Father will present the bride to the bridegroom, holy, blameless, and pure, which we are part of. So if we think that we don't have idols, well, I guess we have to ask ourselves, do we have the armor of God on? Because if we have the armor of God on, there's a reason why we have it on. It's to fight against this stuff. The idols are very, very prevalent. At the same time, if you are born from above, it is finished. You are at rest. You're not. You still have to fight because the flesh, the world, and the devil will always be here until God comes again to destroy and conquer all evil. And until we make it to heaven, where there will be none. In Jesus' name. Let's continue with 325 and start communion.
Thank you.
Let us read the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Let us pray with and for them who will now all will partake of the Lord's Holy Supper. Lord Jesus Christ, thou bread of life, grant that thy holy communion may be a blessing to all those who today shall partake of it, that through the power of the body and blood, that they may receive peace and comfort to their souls and be strengthened in faith, love, and a lively hope of eternal life. Amen. Truly is meet, right, and blessed that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is and which was and which is to come. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let us all pray as our Lord taught us, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now you can all come up and take from the wine and the wafer. I'm going to go back to your seats, or you can partake at the communion rail, and I'll serve you there. Take, eat the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ preserve your body and soul until eternal life. May the body and blood, and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ preserve your bodies and souls unto eternal life. Amen. Praise the Lord for his gracious gift of which you have partaken, and proclaim his suffering, death, and resurrection until he cometh again. Arise and depart in the peace of the Lord. O Lord, Almighty God, thou who allowed us to partake of thy holy supper, we thank thee for thy grace and pray, grant that we also, with all thy chosen saints, may share thy eternal honor and glory through thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and with the Holy Ghost in one Godhead from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he lift up his face upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord give you peace. Let's close with 363 and Doxology 670.